Hallelujah. Good evening. How you doing tonight? Good? Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Hallelujah. I'm going to pray over the word right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just love you tonight. We worship you. And I just pray, Father, for revelation knowledge to flow through this place, that eyes are open, ears hear what the Holy Spirit has to say. Because, Lord, we know that you are alive, your word is living, and you speak to us, and we hear the voice of our Father in Jesus' name. Amen. Aren't you glad that we serve a living God? He's alive and he speaks to us. And the Bible says we can hear the voice of our Father and will not hear the voice of a stranger. And he wants to talk to us and he wants you to know him. Amen? He wants you to know him and he already knows you. He knew you before you were in the womb. He knows how many hairs are on your head. Isn't that amazing? I mean, he doesn't just know how many hairs on my head, but he knows how many hairs, the Bible says, on everyone's head. You know, sometimes you wonder why scripture's in the Bible like that. He wants us to know that he knows us and that he loves us and that he has a plan for our lives and a destiny. And tonight we're going to talk just a few minutes. We're going to have some praise and worship tonight, a little bit extra, but because I felt this morning, you know, I had prayed in the Spirit and I asked the Holy Spirit, you know, I have, you know, so many different directions we could go, but I just felt like the Holy Spirit wanted me to minister on praise and rejoicing tonight. Amen? And so we're going to talk about how important that is and how praise, when they obeyed God and when they stepped out and they praised God, how there were signs and wonders and miracles, not only in the New Testament, but the Old Testament. And I'm going to focus basically on one portion of scripture tonight. But I'll tell you what, I'm not just talking about praise in the church. I'm talking about praise in your home. Praise in your car. Praise on your job. Maybe you're in the supermarket and something good happens and, you know, not to be afraid to say thank you, Lord, in front of others. Because sometimes that ministers to others. And you're going to see that in the word tonight. But you know what? That last scripture I sent you is going to be the first scripture, guys, okay? In Acts 2:46-7, the spirit of praise and rejoicing was a characteristic in the early church. If you read the book of Acts, you'll see, we're going to read the scripture, they were praising God daily. There was such a move of God, and they had this relationship with God. Everything was prayer and fasting and praising. So let's read this scripture in Acts 2:46-47. It says, so continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. Now listen to that part where it says continuing daily, every day, okay? And breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. And then it goes on in verse 47, it says, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. I mean, they were so caught up that, you know, they were bringing the gospel daily. They were praising God. They were going from house to house, and the Lord added to the church daily. They were caught up in loving Jesus. You know, when you first received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I know when I first got saved, I was just passionate about it. And kind of, you know, some people might have said, oh, that was foolish, you know, or, you know, some, because I would tell everybody, you got to get saved. I wanted my family saved. I wanted everybody to be saved because I wanted everybody to go to heaven. I didn't want anybody to miss heaven and go to hell. And when I first got saved, that was such a revelation to me. And so daily I was telling everybody, you know, I'd go to work and they'd say, here she comes. Hallelujah, Judy, you know. And I didn't even know Pastor Ed. He wasn't even on the scene back then when I first got saved. It was so real to them in the book of Acts. It wasn't just like this is just another thing that we do. You know, it was so real. And so that praise was a characteristic. They continued daily. They were in one accord. They had one mind. And they ate their meat with gladness, not sadness. You know, they were rejoicing, and they had a something in their step, something good. But with these early Christians, it wasn't a spasmodic occurrence. It wasn't something that happened once in a great while. The Bible uses these words, and I believe there's not one word in the Bible that's not there. It's not idle. But the Bible uses the words continually and daily. And they were just in the temple praising God. Now I want you to look in Matthew 21, verse 16. Hallelujah. You got that, guys? That looks like Numbers 21:16. Hallelujah. I don't know how you guys got Numbers out of Matthew. I'm going to go ahead and read it. Matthew 21:16 says, "And said to him, do you hear what these are saying?" And Jesus said to them, yes. The children were worshiping Jesus. And he said, yes. Have you never read, out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected praise? That's what Jesus said here. Now I want you to look at Psalm 8, verse 2. This is almost the same thing in the Old Testament. It says, out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength. And that word strength in a lot of translations is interchangeable with praise. And he says, out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. Psalms 8:2 in the Amplified says that you might silence the enemy, that you may silence and the avenger. And another translation says that you might paralyze the enemy. When we praise God, we stop the enemy in his tracks. Look at these scriptures here. First of all, it says that praise coming out of your mouth is a strength. A lot of times we just don't feel like praising God. But I bet if you went and got a good steak, you'd be sitting there saying, man, this steak is really good. I'm going to have to come back to this restaurant. This is, you'd be talking about that. We need to be talking about how good God is. We need to be praising. Secondly, it says that praise coming out of your mouth is perfected. It's perfected praise coming out of your mouth because it brings everything to a point of completion once it starts coming out of your mouth. Praise will silence the enemy. It will stop the avenger. It will paralyze. We need to paralyze the devil in our life. And I'm going to tell you why it will paralyze him. So when the enemy's coming after you one way and he's just pulling out everything in the book, you just need to stop in the middle of your house and you need to start praising God. And you know what's going to happen? You're going to blow the enemy away because he's going to be like, I'm doing this and this and that. And they're praising God. You're going to see the power in that. You can still the enemy. You can stop him. Amen? When you begin to thank God in the middle of a conflict, when you begin to praise God in the middle of a conflict, the two scriptures together that I just read show us that praise is strength to still the enemy. Do you get that? Praise gives the strength to still the enemy. You know, pride made Satan fall. Satan wanted, he wants praise, and he cannot stand it when we begin to praise God. He can't handle it. When he's hearing praise, it makes him want to flee. And when the Bible says, submit to God, and, you know, flee, and the devil will flee, amen? Resist the devil and submit to God, and I don't have that scripture tonight, but when you begin to praise God, you're submitting to God. You're yielding to God. You're standing there, and everything in the world's coming with you. You might have got a bad doctor's report. You may have an eviction notice. Your kids may be just going bananas, you know? And you're praying, you're saying, and you know what? And you're standing there, and you're just loving Jesus because you love him because he first loved you. Because there is a devil out there. In the John 10:10 says, Satan comes to kill and to steal and to destroy. But God came that we might have life. Sickness isn't life. Debt isn't life. You know, problems and situations. Jesus brings life. The devil comes to kill, steal, and to destroy. But praising God puts to flight all the hurts, all the pains, every demonic oppression which Satan has tried to bind you with. It will put it away. It just changes it. It was just changing it. I was thinking about, we had heard this story years ago. How many of you remember Chip Brin? And I thought about it, like, too late to look it up and to share it with you tonight, but I thought I'd throw it out there, and maybe Pastor Mike would remember the story. Maybe he could share it at the end about rejoicing, and because it changes everything. Amen? It's a pretty powerful story, testimony. But I want us to look at Acts chapter 16. Hallelujah. How many of you know praise releases the anointing? In Acts chapter 16, it talks about Paul and Silas. They were put in jail, and now here is what I want you to get a hold of. You ready? They were charged. They thrust them in inner prison. They made their feet fast in stocks. They had stripes from the beating that they took. They were whipped. They were charged. They were changed even to their ankles, and they were thrown deep in prison. Now let's start reading in verse 22. It says, then the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes. Can you imagine having all of your clothes torn off in front of everybody? There was Paul and Silas. Their clothes were tore off. They tore off their clothes. These people must have been incited by the enemy and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Isn't that amazing? They didn't just say commanding the jailer to keep them, but you better keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. I mean, this guy was charged with, these guys better not get out of prison, or we're going to take your life for it. And I heard someone just recently share how they had visited the prison that the Apostle Paul was in before they cut off his head. That's how the Apostle Paul died, I believe. And they had all the names of the people that were executed that day on this jail. And this was not like Mayberry RFD jail. Honestly, our jails today are more like, if you could compare them to the jails back then, it'd be like Mayberry RFD, if you compare them. It was like a hole, they described it. It was a big hole. It was very dark and damp, and there was a hole. They were put down in there, and there was a hole at the top, and they would take the cover off, and they would lower down food and water, and then they would close the door. And he said it was so dark. He said if you saw it, he said it was the creepiest feeling, looking at that prison. They were over there, I guess, in Israel or wherever it was. So a lot of times when we imagine Paul and Silas in jail, and in stocks after they've been whipped, after they had their clothes tore off, after they'd been put in stocks, and we kind of still imagine them in a jail like we know about, don't we? Sometimes, you know, when we imagine them praising God. But there was actually, between the cells, there was actually not not metal bars, but earth. So it was pretty thick between the cells. So anyhow, they'd just been whipped. So they had painful stripes on the body. They were chained. They had their feet in stocks. Now I want you to ask yourself something. If you're in this situation, because I'm showing you that praise and thanksgiving is not just a church thing. They were not in church. They were in prison. What would you choose to do in your situation? They were getting ready to see Jesus. They were basically feeling like this is over. We're going to die. But they didn't weep and cry. They didn't moan and complain. Let's see what they did. Verse 25 says this. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. They were praising God. You know why they were praising God? They weren't praising God because they thought he was going to deliver them, or they didn't really know what was coming up, but they were praising God because they loved him. And the thing is they were doing everything right. The Apostle Paul had obeyed God. They were taking the gospel out. They had given their lives for the gospel. And here they were in that big dark hole prison in the earth. So it says here that they were praising God. And it says that the prisoners were listening to them. Several things here. They chose to pray. They chose to have communion with God, and they chose to sing praises. They chose to sing it loud enough for the prisoners, not through cell doors, but through thick earth. It said all the prisoners, they all heard them. They were shouting in that hole. I don't think that, you know, sometimes when we praise God by faith, we're kind of whispering, oh, Jesus, we bring the sacrifice of praise, you know, we're just trying to get something going. And I'm telling you, you know what, and sometimes it feels like that when you first start, but they weren't whispering. They were shouting, they were praising, and it's like, you know, they're going to kill us anyhow, so we might as well just praise God. And all the prisoners heard. They sang, they prayed, and it was loud enough for the prisoners to hear it. I don't ever want to be ashamed of somebody hearing me praise God. Amen? I don't ever want to be ashamed of that. Your praise will not only impact you, but your praise, when heard by somebody else, will impact them. I remember when I first got saved and I went to church, and I didn't know. I grew up in a Catholic church, so I didn't know anything about full gospel church like this or anything. I had no clue. And I remember it was a Wednesday night or something, and they're singing, you know, and I'm just so excited and praising God, and I don't know, praise and worship was over, and I have no idea why I even thought that I could do this, you know, but I'm raising my hand. And I don't know if the pastor knew what to do. And Pastor Tatham, he was great. And he goes, you know, can I help you with something? And I said, can we sing I Keep Falling in Love with Him over and over again? And I mean, they were like, and they sang it, you know. Everybody just sang it. They didn't make me feel bad or anything. They just, you know, they had it was kind of like old-fashioned worship, but they sang it, and I found out that I wasn't supposed to do that afterwards, but what I'm saying is we need to praise God because we love him, not just because he can get us out of a mess, or not just because he can heal our bodies and answer our prayers, and those are all great, but we, you know, I love him because he loved us. There's a song by Andre Crouch, and it says, if heaven was never promised to me, it's been good just having you, Lord, in my life. You know, if eternity was never there, it's just, you know, that kind of love for God. And I believe that's how Paul and Silas were in this prison. They were excited. They were loving Jesus. Their praise was impacting somebody else. Let's look in verse 26. It says, verse 26, it says, suddenly. You know, we're all looking for suddenlies. I think if we'd praise God more, I think we'd see some suddenlies happening. Suddenly they sang and the prisoners heard them, and suddenly, right? I mean, suddenly, you know, I'm telling you, manifestations happen when you take the time to set thanksgiving and praise, to set aside thanksgiving and praise. So where's it? Okay, I lost my place. All right. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. Now think about this. They're in a deep hole. They're earth walls between cells. But the foundation, it says here, the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains were loosed, not just Paul and Silas, everyone's bands, not just them, everyone. In most of, you know, most of my life, I think, well, my praise just impacts me. But you know what? Your praise can impact the world. All of their bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking from sleep and seeing prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself, because they were going to kill him. You know, he wasn't supposed to let these guys escape or anything. They were in a secure place. They were in the inner prison. Now put yourself in his position. He probably took a little nap, and he wakes up, and he sees all of these guys. They're all escaping. So he says, "Well, I might as well kill myself." And he pulls out his sword. But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, "Do yourself no harm, for we are all here." Now, I don't know about you, but if the chains fell off and the stocks fell off and I was loosed, I think I would have ran as far and as fast as I could away from that prison. But not one of the prisoners. It says, "We are all here. Do yourself no harm. We are all here." He says, "Don't hurt yourself." Think about this. Why are they still all there? They all could have left. The doors are open. The chains are off. They're still there. But nobody is going anywhere. Why? Because I believe through the singing and praising, God, the Bible says that God inhabits the praises of his people. And that word inhabit there, it means to dwell or to occupy. I believe God was in that place. And the Bible also says in Psalm 16:11, in his presence is fullness of joy. I mean, they must have been having a party. But they weren't like just having a fleshly party. They were having a spiritual party. They were all still there. Why didn't they leave? So there was an atmosphere that was created that was so powerful that every prisoner preferred staying in the presence of God. They found more freedom in God's presence than they did outside the cell. Amen? And so they were there. I don't know what you're going through, but you can find comfort in God's presence. I love the presence of God. I love when I get up in the morning and I worship God. I honestly, if I would rather worship and praise God than pray, but I know we have to pray. I just love the presence of God, because when the presence of God comes in, it's such a refreshing, and we can have that every day. If we'll just take some time, maybe you put your favorite worship song on. Maybe, you know, sometimes you just need to do a praise dance. You know, sometimes I used to just drive my kids crazy, singing praise. And even our daughter, you know, she'll put on these real praise songs. You know, we come on, Dad, we need to praise God, shake loose and all of that. And we just get going at our house sometimes. And you know what it does when you praise? There's praise and worship. Both of them bring the presence of God. Praise just brings joy. It shakes you out of the doldrums. It gets you out of looking like this. How would you like it if your kids came to you or if somebody came to you and they're praising you and they're like, oh, you're so wonderful, you know, I like you, or but they're just not excited about it at all. Hallelujah. He says we are all here. And when you know what? Paul and Silas, they lost sight of their needs. And when you're in genuine praise, you will lose sight of your needs. And you'll get your sight on the promises of God. Your praise, when it's genuine, you get lost in it. You're no longer focusing on what's going around you. And that's the power of thanksgiving and praise, that it causes you to focus on the promise more than the problem. Amen? Hallelujah. All right, let's get to the next scripture here. Where am I? I'm in verse 27, right? Can you get 27 up there? All right. And the keeper of the prison, awakening from his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew the sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul called on him, and he said, I'm going to try to find it here. Verse 28. Oh, 28, where are you? I know he had it here. All right, I'll just read it up there. You got 28 for me? There he goes. But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, do yourself no harm, for we are all here. Verse 29, then he called for a light. He ran in and he fell down trembling before Paul and Silas, and he brought them out and he said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Isn't that amazing? The keeper brought Paul and Silas out and said, sir, what must I do to be saved? People are looking at you. People are looking for something. And I'm telling you, when praise brings miracles. Praise brings breakthrough. You know, praise and worship. And it brought breakthrough to Paul and Silas in prison. It broke off the chains of everyone. And ultimately, the chains of this guard and his whole family broken. Let's look at this. Look at the rest of this. And he says, verse 31, so they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household. And then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and all who were in his house. When people see Jesus on you, they are going to want you to come to their house. When is the last time somebody said, will you come to my house and tell my family about Jesus? See, when I got saved, I called my sister in California. I went to my mother. I went to everybody, and I said, you have to be saved. And my mother was like, she was hard, but she got saved. My whole family got saved. I wanted Jesus to come to my house. And when people see Jesus on you, they want When they get Jesus, they want everybody to get Jesus. And all this started with praise and worship. Paul and Silas took their eyes off of their problem, and they just figured, hey, we're going to go to heaven soon. And they just began. They were in pain from being whipped. They had chains on their ankles that were hurting. They were in a dark hole. But they prayed so loud that all of the prisoners' chains were loosed. And the guard and his whole family got saved. And it started out with them just praising. Praise is a powerful weapon that will defeat every attack against you. When you're feeling under the pressure, when you're feeling the heat, it's time to lift up your hands and praise God. It's time to open up the book of Psalms and start praising God. The Bible says in Psalms, from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the name of the Lord is to be praised. Amen? So they here Paul and Silas, it was amazing that the keeper brought Paul and Silas and said that. I mean, he probably heard them preaching. He probably knew why they were in jail. But if I was that jailer, if I was that guard, I think that I would have said the same thing, especially if the earth shook. And I woke up and everybody's out of their chains and everybody's out of their stocks. You know, we have to sometimes, we keep our eyes a lot of times on the bonds that bind us, or the depression, or where we're trying to find an answer. And God has an answer. God promises us. There's so many promises in the Word of God. In praise there is deliverance. In worship there is deliverance. And there needs to be an attitude. I believe Paul and Silas had an attitude of praise. It changed the atmosphere in the prison. I tell you, I believe, I'm telling you, the presence of God was there. The angels, somebody had to unleash those chains. Those angels just went down and let them go. And we can change the atmosphere in our homes when we praise, when we rejoice, when we make a commitment to say, you know what, I'm not gonna let the devil know I'm down. And especially these days, people just walk around. People are fighting battles. I mean, honestly, even during this COVID and all of the suicide rate has gone up, so many things, and they need Jesus. They need to see somebody that's happy. Sometimes I'll be in the supermarket I'm going to buy something and it'll be on sale or something, and I'll be like, oh, thank you, Jesus. You know? You need to do that more often. People need to hear you say, thank you, Jesus. You know? Or praise God or something, you know? Just, how many of you do that? Different times, different places that you go to. People need what we have. And I believe that as we praise God, like Paul and Silas, and they were able, all those other, I don't know if all of those other men were Christians or not, all those other people in the prison. I know Paul and Silas was, but they probably were after that day, right, AJ? So, Pastor Mike, you remember that story? Can you come up here? You think you could tell it? I know it's the last minute, and I honestly didn't remember it until the end, and I was trying to find it, but I couldn't find it, and This is a true story.
So it's a long story, so I'm going to try to consolidate it. But Chiprim was seeking God, and he was really taking time out to seek God's face. And Jesus brought him up in a vision. And in the vision, he was watching himself play football in high school. He said he was above the stand. He could smell the popcorn. He could see himself on the field. And the quarterback threw a pass to Chip, and he caught it, and he laid down. And he looked at Jesus and said, I would never do that. I would never lay down after I catch the ball. And so they tagged him, and they put him down, and he began to say that. And Jesus said, if you want to receive from God, you need to be a receiver, a receiver. And he didn't get it, but he looked up and he saw the word receiver. And at the end, the two words, the E-R at the end of it, it started to say extra responsibility. If you want to receive from God, you need to do the extra responsibility. And Jesus began to show him that that extra responsibility was to praise God. You can't just say, thank you, God, I got it. If you really believe you have something, then there'll be a joy. Your faith would rejoice as if you do have it. And he showed him the devil. And what happens is we get to the 1 yard line and we're ready to score that touchdown. We're ready to get our healing. We're ready to receive from God. But what the devil does, he brings in a goal line defense, and the goal line defense is really hard. And what he does is he pounds you. And what we do is we lay down right at that 1 yard line. But if we would just begin to praise God, even when the heat comes up, even when it doesn't look like it's gonna happen, then what we do is we begin to break through and we begin to get from God what we've been believing for. So the missing piece is praise. The missing part is our rejoicing before him. Sometimes we'll just crumple under what the devil had. And he gave a story to end it. And what happened was the IRS contacted him and told him that there was a problem with his taxes and that they were coming to take all his property away and bring him to jail over what happened. And he couldn't understand what it was. And they said the very next day they were showing up to go ahead and to take possession of his property and bring him to jail for tax evasion. And he knew it was a mistake, and he began to complain to God, and, you know, I was serving you, and why is this happening to me? And then God brought that back to him and showed him that he was on the 1 yard line, and if he wanted to break through, he needed to praise God. So him and his family just began to rejoice. He said, I was a baseball coach. I didn't know how to do that stuff. I didn't have the personality of rejoicing. So he just said, I did what I knew to do. And just in real childlike way, they just begin to thank God and praise God in the midst of that trouble. And he said the presence of God came down and just filled their room. And he said they woke up the next day and the black SUVs pulled up in front of his house. And they were just thanking and praising God in spite of what looked like a terrible situation. And he said as they came to the door, the main guy got a phone call. And in the phone call, they said they messed up his social security number by one digit and that he was not the one that they were gonna do. And as a repercussion for what they kind of put him through, they also gave him a financial payment for the trouble that they caused to his family. So we see there that he probably could have gone to jail, but he began to praise and to worship God. The bands were broken. The darkness was taken. So what we need to understand, it is tough sometimes to praise God when things are dark. It's tough when you're in stocks and in prison and it looks hopeless to praise God. But you need to realize that that's your place of deliverance. That when you'll do that, when you'll begin to rejoice right where you are, then all of heaven is loosed on your behalf. And how'd that sound? That sound like it?
Actually, when he said he didn't know how to praise God, I think his kids were saying they got in the, and he said, we can sing Ring Around the Rosie. I think that's how they started. And then they just started to praise God. But the one thing God told him when he was talking about rejoicing, God brought out the definitions, and I don't have them, but all the Hebrew definitions about that. And he said it had to do with his countenance. Like, brighten up. So he wasn't allowed, you know, God was getting him out of that, you know, praise you, Jesus. He said, you got to brighten up. That's what praises me. He talked about jumping up and down. He talked about, and it was just, it was so liberating to hear this message. You could probably find it on YouTube. He's a minister of the gospel. His name is Chip Brim, and you will love any message that you hear him preach. But I'm telling you, it's time for us to brighten up. Paul and Silas, I'm sure that kind of praise, I'm sure they were brighten up. I'm sure they weren't like, oh, praise you, Jesus, deliver us from this hole. You know, no, they were shouting and they were praising. And I just want to encourage you. We're gonna close with some praise and worship here. But I want to encourage you. I don't know what you're going through, but take some time to praise God. You may even be stuck in your prayer life. You might not know what direction to go. Honestly, every morning, this is just the way that I pray, I always praise God first. I love to worship God. I could do that forever. And I've shared this before, and I shared it probably a few weeks ago, but we were away in Florida, but we had a lot of pressure on us, finances, everything. And I got up early that morning, and I went into the other room, and I just started worshiping God, because I love to worship God. It's easy. I guess I'm saying that because it wasn't really like a sacrifice to worship God. But the whole time I was worshiping God, my mind was worrying. But because I was worshiping God, the Holy Spirit was able to arrest that and bring the scripture in Philippians to me that day and said, do not worry about anything. Do not fret or have anxiety. And I'll tell you what, that caused me to get up and shout more, because I knew, that God had spoken to me. When you begin to praise God, God will bring scriptures to you. He will speak to you. It'll just change the atmosphere in your home. When you're the angriest, you need to stop. Check your countenance, brighten up, and begin to praise God. Amen? We preach at each other at our house all the time. I'm telling you. You just, if you live with us and anybody has an attitude, nobody gets away with it. We look at each other and we go, what would Jesus do? Hallelujah. I mean, we go through struggles too. You need somebody in your household like that. Some of you, your spouses are saying, oh no, now my spouse is really going to let me have it. No, I'm just kidding. I'm going to have you go ahead and stand.